Today we hear in the gospel this parable of forgiveness. It follows in Matthew's gospel immediately upon a question by Peter. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother, my fellow man? Seven times?" Now, why does he say this? In the Old Testament, there is this playoff of the number of seven in covenant. In Hebrew, shava, to swear, he swore, as in to swear an oath, make a commitment, make a contract. And the number sheva, number seven, share the same triliteral root. In Semitic languages, you have these triliteral roots, three consonants, and from there are built verbs and nouns and adjectives and things. And so in the Old Testament, you often hear these plays off of a theme or a number or something, and sometimes in English it doesn't come through so well. But basically what Peter is asking is, shall I forgive my brother of his failure to keep the bargain that we have made? Right? My friend, my companion, my neighbor, whatever it is, some sort of deal that we've worked out, a contract, a commitment, how many times should I forgive him of breaking that? Once, twice, three, seven times max, right? He's broken the covenant with us, the deal we've made. And Jesus says to him, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. 70 times seven? 490 times? That's not the point of the story. Jesus is not asking for Peter to keep track on a little notepad. The 490th time, okay, I'm done now. Jesus is commenting on something that we then hear about in this parable. This parable explains what Jesus meant. If you go back into the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, in chapter 9, you'll hear that Daniel the prophet is in Babylon, and it is now the 70th year. And he remembers that in the prophet Jeremiah, it had said that the people of Israel will be in exile for 70 years. So after having looked at consulted the book of Jeremiah, that's right, there it is. He checks the calendars. Hey, it's time to go home. So he begins to pray, it says. This is Daniel chapter 9. He prays and he says, "Oh Lord, forgive me of my sin and forgive my people of their sin." He confesses the sins of himself, his own sins, and the sins of his people. I don't need to give you the list of all of the sins of the people of Israel that led to the Babylonian exile. Daniel does. As he is confessing his sin and the sin of his people, God sends the angel Gabriel. Most people know that Gabriel appears in the New Testament, sure. But he appears in Luke chapter 1 to announce the coming of the Messiah, because that's the sequel. Gabriel appeared in Daniel chapter 7. He was sent from God to Daniel, and he said, "Oh Daniel, beloved by God, the Lord has heard your prayer." And you're right. 70 years of exile is what Jeremiah says. And so you'll go home. Your people are going to go home now. It's been 70 years. That's the good news. But here's the bad news. It's not 70 years until the exile is really over, until the restoration of the kingdom comes. But 70 times 7 years. Oh no. And so Daniel hears that while the people will return, and Jeremiah was correct, it would be a 70-year exile in Babylon, the kingdom will not be fully restored. The Messiah, the anointed king, will not appear. God's glory cloud will not return to the temple until 70 times 7. 490 years. Now, why does it say this? This is intended as a reminder of Daniel and of all of us who read it, of Leviticus chapter 25. In the book of Leviticus, in chapter 25, God tells the people this. Every 7 years is a Sabbath year, a day of rest, a year of rest. On that year you shall not plow your field, you will not harvest, nothing. You don't send your servants out to, nothing. That year is a Sabbath year. We have this idea still in often in academia and things. Oh, it's my Sabbath year, my sabbatical. And so on that year, the only thing you are to do to eat and feed your family is to go out in the field and harvest what grows on its own. Any of you who have lived in an agrarian culture know that if you plant a field with wheat, and you plant a field with wheat, and you plant a field with wheat, after many years, if you don't plant any wheat, in the spring, wheat still grows. There's still plenty of wheat growing out of all the scattered stuff and on the sides and the birds flying over. And so you'll get wheat, not necessarily as much as if you planted, but you'll get it. And so the Sabbath year was a day or a year of rest, just like the seventh day each week. But seven Sabbath years, the 49th year, after seven of these Sabbath years, comes the great Jubilee year, the 50th year. After the 49th year, after seven Sabbath years, you are to release the debt of your slaves. So if you have a servant who is working for you because he has debt, well, you cancel the debt and the servant goes free. What if you have bought land from your neighbor because he was a little short on cash a few years earlier and you bought half his land from him so he could pay off his debts to it? You have to give that section of land back. Could you imagine the real estate problems a year before the Jubilee year comes? Property values would certainly plummet. It was intended to kind of level things out. Every 50 years, they would start over. You know how things go. Certain families, due to smart, good business sense, or just luck of the draw, or blessings from God, or whatever, tend to make this money and accumulate. And maybe another family, this doesn't go well. And after a few generations, you've got one family that's got this mass amount of wealth, and another family that's struggling. And this kind of accumulates generation after generation. And so after 50 years, they start over. All land goes back to the original tribal allotments of the original families when Joshua brought the people in. And they start over. That's called the Jubilee year. Every 50th year, they would do this. And what Daniel's being told is that, yes, 70 years is the time of exile in Babylon. But the great Jubilee is coming. After 70 times 7, you come now to the 500th year, or however you want to calculate it. You come to now the great Jubilee, when God will cancel the debts. Not just of the Israelites, because of what they had done and are now in exile, but how God will cancel the debts of everyone. This is a great mystery that Daniel hears. And about 500 years after he heard this, it's hard to calculate exactly, is when Jesus appears in the Holy Land. Jesus is the forgiveness of God. Jesus is the great Jubilee. He is the sign to us that God wills to forgive all of us our debt. From Adam until the second coming of Christ. And so Peter comes to Jesus. Peter stands before he who is the great Jubilee. He stands before Jesus, who is the image of God's forgiveness of mankind. He is the image of God's forgiveness of Peter, of all Peter has ever done. And he asks Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus, "No, Peter. How about 70 times 7? And so Peter is reminded of Daniel chapter 9. and that we must forgive Peter. We must forgive our brother as God has forgiven us, Peter. And Jesus is the forgiveness of God standing there before him. And so then Jesus tells this parable to explain this. He says, look, there was a man who was very powerful, a master, he had servants. One had this massive amount of debt, millions of dollars. Another, only a very small amount, owed to the other servant. You know the story of what happens. This one who owes a massive amount simply asks for forgiveness, and the master cancels the debt. Millions of dollars canceled. But then this fellow servant, who owed his fellow servant just a small amount, asked him for forgiveness, and he refused. And the master says, should you not have forgiven your brother the way I forgave you? And again, think of the difference of the debt. Should you not have treated your brother the way I treated you? Peter, should you not forgive your brother as God has forgiven you? Behold the forgiveness of God, Jesus Christ. The fact that the incarnation takes place is a sign of God's loving forgiveness of all of us. This is a theme that we hear throughout the Gospels. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus had told them how to pray. They said, teacher, teach us to pray. Oh, okay. Here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. Not our earthly Father. Our Father is in heaven. God. He prays, we should pray that God's name would be honored and glorified on earth. And that God's will would be like on earth as it is in heaven. That is, that men act in accord with God's will. And then he says to him, and we must forgive our debts. Forgive the debts of others. That is, the trespasses, the mistakes, the sins of others against us. Forgive those as God has forgiven us. And then he says, and this is in Matthew's Gospel, for if you do not forgive the sins of your brother, God will not forgive you. That was back earlier in Matthew's Gospel. And here now we hear later on commentary on that. And so I ask you today, does anyone here have trouble with forgiveness? I do. Anyone a sinner here who fails to forgive their fellow man like we should? Does anyone have a sibling, a brother or a sister that you're holding in bondage because you will not forgive them for something they've done to you? Does anyone here have a co-worker that you just really don't like because they irritate you or they do something, they don't listen, or sometimes they seem to be doing things just to make you angry? But whatever the case, does anyone here have a man or a woman in the neighborhood, maybe someone who lives next door or across the street, who has offended you, have done things in their yard or their house, or whatever the case may be, and we're holding that grudge against them? Well, you're not just holding that person in bondage. You're holding yourself in bondage. We know how all this works. Holding someone else in bondage, hold yourself in bondage. Your heart is in bondage. We can feel that bondage, and God will not forgive us unless we forgive that individual. And think of that little silly thing they did. Whatever it is, compared to our sins against God's will. How many times should we forgive our brother, our neighbor, our sibling, or whatever, our spouse, our child, our parent? 70 times 7. That is, we should forgive them and cancel the debt completely, like God has forgiven us. Not just in our own particular life, but God's canceling the debt of mankind. So that salvation is actually possible, that we can enter back into the Garden of Eden when Christ returns. And so this week, think of someone who you're holding in bondage. A sibling, a friend, a coworker. And you say this, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit into my mind and in my heart. And give me the forgiveness that you have for me and for all of us. I ask this in the power of your Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We must learn to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. How is that possible? Only if we have become God. And we have become members of the body of Jesus Christ. We have become temples of the Holy Spirit on earth. We have become the representations, the image of God to our neighbor, our sibling, our parent, our child in this world. And so that we may glorify Jesus Christ, who is the forgiveness of God, with His eternal Father, as all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever and unto age of ages. Amen.